Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house. As we're privileged to lift up praise to God this Sunday morning, we would like to encourage everyone to please sign the registration pad and to pass that on to your neighbors. Today, immediately after this service, we will be having a called board meeting to vote on the employment of a temporary interim pastor to take my place while I will be out of commission from Tuesday the 21st of November until Saturday the 16th of December. Also today, immediately after that board meeting, and certainly for those of you not attending, please join us for the sandwich and soup lunch that is in the fellowship hall, and it will also be accompanied by the Christian Women Fellowship's bazaar and silent auction down in the fellowship hall. Today is also Blanket Sunday, as you can see from the flyer and the envelope that you have in your bulletin, and it is to provide blankets as well as hygiene kits for people experiencing disasters. And a couple of the blankets are here on display to your right, and we are grateful for your support of that ministry. Also, you see in the bulletin announcement page the sheet to make a reservation for poinsettias that will adorn the sanctuary for the Advent season. Be mindful that next Sunday, the 12th of November, is the deadline for that order. And also, Chris Martinson is offering those personal portrait Christmas ornament cutouts. I think I see one of them sitting right here. Here's one of them I can see. That was here on the pulpit, Chris. I noticed this was sitting here. Again, information about that in your bulletin. Also, information about the harvest tree that is over to your left, and of course, the Northland Christmas Store tree that is over to your right. Information about those ministries there in your bulletin announcement page as well. Deadline for both of those ministries is Sunday, the 19th of November. I think these are all the announcements I need to lift up, and so I call upon Ryan for our call to worship, please.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I invite you to stand for the call to worship. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with mankind. He will live with them, and they shall be his people.
God himself will be with them, and he will be their God.
He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. The old things have disappeared.
Then the one who sits on the throne said, "And now I make all things new."
It is done. I am the first and the last, the beginning and the end. We'll now sing hymn number 572, stanzas 1 and 4 of Take Time to Be Holy.
Take time to be holy. With the Lord, abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing God's blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control, thus led by his of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above.
May we pray. Merciful and loving God, we offer you thanks for the privilege to worship you freely on this Lord's Day morning. As the author of Hebrews 13, verse 15 encourages us, may we offer up praise to you as our sacrifice through Jesus, which is the offering presented by lips that confess Christ as Lord. For it is in his name that we offer this prayer and thanksgiving. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors.
May we have our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Thank you. I got a question for you. Do you like to play hide and seek?
Yeah.
Yeah, hide and seek is fun, isn't it? Are you good at playing hide and seek? Do you find really good places to hide? Yeah? Do you know who doesn't play very good hide and seek? Do you know who is not good at hide and seek? God. God is not good at playing hide and seek. Do you know why? Because God never hides from us. God is always stays right where we can find him. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. In other words, God says, if you look for me, you're going to find me because I'm going to be right there. I'm right there all the time. And all we have to do is look for him. He's not good at hide and seek because he doesn't like to hide from us. He wants us to be able to see him and talk to him any time we want to. Well, we close our eyes, we say a prayer, and if we look and listen, we will find God. He's everywhere. We're going to talk about that in Children's Church. He is. He's everywhere. Should we have a little prayer? Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this absolutely gorgeous day. We thank you for these children. Thank you for always being there for us, no matter where we are. We ask that all things be done in your name. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this morning, our sympathy is extended to Judy Settles with the passing of her husband, Bob, on Friday of this past week. The tentative arrangement is that the service may be on Saturday, the 18th of November at Whitechapel. When we have more information, we will certainly share that with the congregation. We also keep in prayer Judy's son, Dan, his wife Mindy, their children Tucker and Addie, and also sons David and Leonard as well. We also keep in prayer Bob Maddox as he is anticipating an aortic valve replacement surgery at the St. Luke's Hospital here in the near future. We also keep in prayer Edna Williams as she has that pressure wound and is still awaiting further information as to whether there will be surgery. And we keep in prayer Perla. Perla, you're in the back here, aren't you? There you are. Perla, we're keeping you in prayer in the midst of your testing. And Jerry, it's a joy to have you here this morning as we keep Betty in prayer for that surgery on the 15th of November. I will be undergoing surgery on Tuesday, the 21st of November, at the St. Luke's Hospital on the Plaza. Surgery on my back called a laminectomy, which I hope will certainly give some relief to the chronic pain I've been dealing with for the last several years. I will be staying at home, returning to the church on the 17th of December, that Sunday. Again, we are hoping that we'll have an interim pastor here on board to take my place for that near month period of time. We keep in prayer Susan Hanks and, of course, Doug and Gail Gentry in the midst of their personal concerns. And Vicki Laufer shares with us that her granddaughter, Alyssa, has certainly seen some leveling off of some of the epileptic concerns she's experienced. And that is certainly good news for Alyssa. And Lana, we certainly keep in prayer your daughter, Beth, and granddaughter, Samantha. And certainly there are others in our midst that we are mindful of in prayer day by day. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Merciful and holy God, we lift up praise to your holy name as we are always grateful for the privilege to worship you on Sunday mornings. We are privileged to lift up the names of our loved ones and friends in need of your great care, even as we also lift up to you the multitudes enduring great suffering in the Middle East, in Ukraine, in Armenia, and certainly in other parts of the world. As such strife and hardship prevails, we may wonder, O God, if the fullness of your wholeness and peace will ever reside on earth. Yet as we experience Christ as our Lord and Savior, may we remember with hopefulness, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that when anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And even as the Apostle John tells us in Revelation 21, that in Christ all things will be made new in the hereafter, may we also embrace the truth that we can also experience renewal here and now. As the journey through day-to-day living is certainly before us, Psalm 51 verse 10 tells us that we can have a clean heart. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 verse 23 that we can all have renewal in the spirit of our minds. And as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away in this earthly life, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For these assurances, we give you thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the game of golf, a mulligan is simply a second chance when a golfer has hit a poor tee shot that they would rather forget. The most widely accepted story on the origin of this do-over shot is that David Mulligan, who played at a country club in Montreal, Canada during the 1920s, hit a crooked long drive. So he impulsively re-teed and hit it again. To his friends that day, Mulligan called his redo a correction shot. But his partners on the green decided the shot deserved a much more distinctive name, so they started calling it the Mulligan. When we consider all the tribulation and suffering that has been exacted upon humanity ever since the original sinfulness of humanity in the Garden of Eden, we may often wish that God had given Adam and Eve a mulligan. Yet truthfully, humanity continues to repeat sinful behavior over and over again. And as sinfulness seems to reside within the very heart of all humanity, we can understand that a mulligan would have never been enough. Humanity needed a stronger remedy. Thus, it was only through the initiative of God providing Christ as the final sacrificial lamb that humanity's sinfulness could be resolved for all time to come. Thus, may we all give thanks to God in Christ as we participate in the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper. For this reminds us that the blood of Christ washes away our sinfulness so that our souls may reside with God forevermore. Our communion hymn today, "Let Us Break Bread Together," we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn number 425.
Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the sun, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together.
As we gather at the Lord's table, let us again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Anna leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Lord, we are thankful and grateful for all you provide. These emblems show us your unwavering love. As we take the bread and the cup, we are filled with love and forgiveness. Lord, we ask for your blessing on these emblems. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. The brochure in your bulletin describes how your contributions to the Church World Service blanket Sunday offering can be an immense benefit to people experiencing great crises. Your financial gifts provide fleece and wool blankets, as we see displayed here to your right in the sanctuary, as well as the hygiene kits that provide the simple personal care items that you and I take for granted every day. Your contributions given in the envelope provided are genuinely appreciated as Lana offers a word of prayer and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, the way you show us that you're everywhere. We're grateful. We're grateful for this church and this community that we serve. We're grateful for all the givers that we have in this congregation and the willingness that they're always ready to give wherever and whatever to those in need around the world. We thank you for the gifts that we're about to receive. May you bless the givers and bless those who are receiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May we stand? Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A couple of texts I share with you this morning. First of all, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Here is the Apostle John's vision of a new heaven and new earth. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth disappeared, and the sea vanished. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared and ready like a bride dressed to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. Now God's home is with humanity. He will live with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and he will be their God. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. The old things have disappeared." And then from Luke's gospel, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse, the appearance of Christ in his resurrected for his ascension. While the two were telling them this, suddenly the Lord himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. But he said to them, "Why are you alarmed? Why are these doubts coming into your minds? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Feel me, and you will know, for a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you I have." He said this and showed them his hands and his feet. They still could not believe. They were so full of joy and wonder. So he asked them, "Well, do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of cooked fish, which he took and ate in their presence. May we pray. Holy God, for assurance of absolute renewal, when we will be privileged to abide in your living presence in the realm of your eternal glory, we are indeed grateful. For this great hope we have through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, we give you thanks. Amen. As we bring this afterlife sermon series to a close this morning, and even though we certainly have not gone into detail about a number of the images of prophecy portrayed in Scripture, I hope that there are a few assurances that you can count on through the scriptures that we have explored. Here are some of these assurances as I try to give you a bit of a summary. First, and likely the greatest assurance communicated from Christ's words to the penitent criminal on the cross, and also concerning the rapture, is simply this: believers in Christ will be with Christ in the hereafter. And so if you learn nothing else about this series except that, I hope you can rest in that truth. If you think being with your beloved grandmother or grandfather, or a dear precious friend or some other relative or dear friend, that brings you great joy, just imagine multiplying that, you know, 1,000-fold. That's what it's going to be like when we are in the presence of Christ in God. The greatest assurance we have is that we will be with God in Christ. Jesus said to that penitent criminal in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, "I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." And at the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17 tells us that believers in Christ will be gathered up in the clouds to be with Christ. The second assurance: at the time of our passing from this earthly realm into the spiritual, we should live with the assurance that it will be immediate. I don't think we have to worry about sleeping, right? I think we've got enough evidence and text to say, no, it's going to be immediate, because even Jesus said to the penitent criminal, what? "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Third, as believers will assemble in the clouds during the first part of Christ's second coming, called the rapture, believers in Christ will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Our salvation will not be in question, but our works will be judged and we will be rewarded accordingly. If you've ever had a prompt about how you ought to be using the resources God has given you, it is the notion that one day you're going to be standing before that judgment seat of Christ and be held accountable. Mercy sakes, and everybody else is going to be there watching. Right? Boy, doesn't that humble you? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." The fourth assurance: Satan and the forces of evil will be defeated at Armageddon. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 and continuing, tells us that Satan and his forces will be defeated and ultimately thrown into that which is called that lake of fire. What we need to understand most of all about that is that it simply means to be absent from the presence of God. Fifth, there are serious warnings for people who choose to ignore or simply refuse to believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus says of himself, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. And we remember from what we've spoken about in previous Sundays, non-believers will face what is called the great white throne of God's judgment. Revelation chapter 20 describes how the dead, great and small, will be gathered before this great white throne. And they will be judged for their works on earth. And then thrown into that lake of fire, which again simply means to be absent from the very presence of God and godliness. And then, of course, the other warning. One's name must beware. Written in the book of life. How does it get there? Simply by one making that confession of faith, repenting of sin, and accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. The formula is so, so profoundly simple, but yet so often ignored. And yet it is referred to in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, and verse 15, and also Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. The sixth assurance. When God calls all of creation to a close, believers in Christ will dwell in the eternal realm, a new eternal realm, which will be in the presence of God in Christ. Hints of this eternal presence is therefore this eighth and final message in this afterlife series. In the conclusion of his prophetic vision concerning the afterlife, the oldest living apostle of Jesus, John, is given a hint of what the eternal life with God may be like as it is recorded in this 21st chapter of Revelation. John's vision emphasizes that all things will be new. Revelation 21, verse 1 tells us, Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth disappeared and the sea vanished. And then the vision portrays a new Jerusalem. Verse 2, I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out from heaven, prepared and ready like a bride dressed to meet her husband. This imagery of a new heaven, a new earth, and a renewed Jerusalem, what we must understand, this is not actually new for the world of Judaism, because there are texts in the Old Testament that make reference to this kind of imagery. So God, again, is using imagery that would have been familiar to the apostle. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17, God says, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. You know, I think, again, one little snippet of this verse that's so significant. The former things will not be remembered. You know, if you can think of the lousiest day you ever had on earth, you won't remember it. You know, if you can think of the worst pain you've ever gone through, you know, for many women, they say, well, that's childbirth. But you know, when you're holding that baby in your arms, you forget about all that pain. You know, the worst, absolutely excruciating pain I ever had was what was called a ruptured kidney. It's not a lot of fun when the doctor's sitting there with a, you know, looking up at the x-ray and the light and says, my, 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 this is the first time I've seen a ruptured kidney in 20 years of being an ER doctor. You know, as if it's something fascinating. And he says, no wonder you've been talking about being in such pain. I said, yes, yes. You know, I mean, it's a 15, just shoot me. Forget the 1 to 10. You know, but, you know, when you finally get the relief from that, you don't remember it. Right? The old things will pass away. All the misery, trouble of the world will pass away and will not be remembered. Why? Because our focus will be so centered on God, godliness in Christ. There won't be room for anything that ever was a difficulty. That we must celebrate. But you know what? I think rather than think about a place, I think most of our energy should really be focused on who. And I've said this before because I think it's the most powerful image we have. If you have the opportunity to go to a restaurant and to spend some time with the most precious people in your life, whether that be your children, grandchildren, a dear friend, a group of friends maybe some old schoolmates, whatever. You know what that group is for you. Imagine the opportunity for you all to sit down and share a meal at a restaurant together. You know, the conversation gets stirred up and you just have so much fun talking and visiting and sharing and rejoicing and celebrating. It just warms your soul to the point that, you know what, you're not looking at what's the decoration on the walls. You don't care what the temperature of the room is. You don't even care what time it is. Nor do you even really remember what it was that you ate. But what you do remember is the profound joy of just being in that relational experience. And I believe that's what we must embrace in our relationship with God. That's why here this text of Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 is so precious. I heard a loud voice speaking from the throne. This is the voice of Christ, we believe. Now God's home is with humanity. He will live with them and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and he will be their God. This is truly the most wondrous part of John's vision, to reside in God through Christ forevermore. Verse 4 in Revelation 21 goes on to tell us that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief or crying or pain. The old things will have disappeared. And further in the Revelation chapter 22, verse 4, John's vision tells us that we will see the face of God. That's how close we'll be. You see. And verse 5, there shall be no more night, and we will not need lamps or sunlight because the Lord God will be our light. And from these glimpses, we can tell that God's eternal realm will indeed be a glorious place in which we will revel in the very presence of our Creator. These are but visionary glimpses of God's eternal realm. But more importantly, I think even Christ gives us wonderful hints of what the hereafter will be like in his resurrected form. That's why I've lifted up this text from Luke's Gospel, the 24th chapter. Like Christ, we too will have a bodily presence that will be recognizable to ourselves and others. We may have evidence of our past life, in other words, the marks, as did Jesus from his crucifixion. He says to doubting Thomas, you know, well, look at my body, look at the wounds. But those wounds in no way hinder Jesus, do they? And yet he has this kind of a quasi-physical versus spiritual kind of essence about himself. He can go ahead and partake of something to eat, and yet he can walk through the locked doors that were mentioned a couple of times in the gospel text. I think all of that just gives us a hint that, you know, we're going to have this kind of a spiritual essence that will be quite remarkable and yet free from any burden we ever had in this earthly existence. You know, some people even believe that the eternal realm will actually be some sort of recreation of even the earth as it is, this earth. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. You know what? I don't really care. Because the only thing I really care about is, well, God, whatever you decide, I'll take it. I'll go there because I just want to be with God through the very essence of who Christ Jesus has been, as revealed in text, and is forevermore. Right? That's a wondrous glory we ought to celebrate every day, right? That's our great hope in Christ. But you know what? There's also a warning here, is there not? Because everything I've also lifted up to you also points to this truth, that we must be aligned with God through Christ, acknowledging Christ as Lord and Savior. We must repent of sinfulness, because God in his righteousness cannot accept the sinfulness of humanity. There's no room for it in the eternal realm. We've got to be cleansed. And so that's why it's so important for all of us to be about the business of evangelizing and sharing this word, sharing these truths with other people, so that others among us are not blinded by their ignorance. The text tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Praise God. So I ask you this morning, as I do every Sunday morning, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, today is your day where I know you can come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As I extend the invitation to you, and as we turn to our hymn of invitation this morning, it's hymn number 576, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. For the sake of time, let's do the first and last stanzas. First and last stanzas, 576.
My faith looks up to thee, the Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away.
Thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And again, reminders, first of all, the very quick called board meeting in the upper room classroom, so we can have that vote on an temporary interim pastor to take my place while I go through that surgical procedure. And also soup and sandwich lunch immediately after the service here down in the fellowship hall, and the bazaar and silent auction. As you can see, a number of items there. As you walk into the fellowship hall, you'll see them on your right. We're grateful for the Christian Women's Fellowship and everything they've set up for us today. May we pray. Lord God, as we depart and go about the task you have before us this day, we're indeed grateful for the privilege to lift up worship and praise to you, knowing our destiny as people of faith is to be and the realm of your eternal care forevermore. For this, God, we are indeed grateful. Amen.